You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the first episode of Clock Radio Speakers in a very long time. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. We're also on Instagram at CRS Podcast. We are on iTunes. Search Clock Radio Speakers. We are pretty much everywhere you get podcasts, Stitcher, everywhere except SoundCloud because they are trash. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. You can follow and you can recap all 380. Doc, we've been in like the 200s for like forever.
Yeah, we've been in the 200s for a bit. We're sort of on an unofficial week on, week off cadence right now. So that's really stretched this out.
But I'm seeing a lot of podcasts who are already celebrating like their 150th episode. And I'm like, yo, we was doing this like in 2010.
The other thing, though, is because we have multiple sides, like there's really like just thousands of hours of back catalog to catch up on.
And since you guys are likely going to be out, Christmas vacation, New Year's break, all that good stuff, that is plenty of time for you to go back and listen to episodes that you missed. And I think I got everything. Doc's here. What's up, man?
Everything's good, man. It's good to be back. Everybody can follow me on Twitter if you want, at @doc_beats. That's not a Z, but like Armand said, just follow us on everything at CRS Podcast. But more important than me being here, we have a special guest today, Armand.
We do. Friend of the show, person who always seems to like find a way to get on this show at least twice a year. What is this, Wes? Wes, like time number 5 or something like that?
It's probably like 4.
4? Okay. So we got Wes Pendleton on the show. What's going on, good sir?
Guys, appreciate you having me. Definitely a privilege and an honor to be here once again.
So do we want to jump right into the proceedings this evening, Doc? What do we want to do?
I mean, I think so, because we have a lot on the agenda. Wes is on the show. I mean, obviously Wes enjoys being on the show. He's a good friend. But you and Wes just put a project out. And we haven't talked about it.
We haven't, because we always get into other stuff. And then, like, I'm sure there's been an episode or two where we shut down and we're like, oh, we forgot to talk about the project. But yes, Wes and I just put out a project on December 8th called 40 Days, courtesy of Elect Recordings. 5 tracks, all produced by Wes, all rapped by me. And yeah, really, really dope. People seem to really be enjoying the project. As I don't know, how would you describe the production on this album, Wes? Like, it's very moody, right?
It's definitely a bit toned down. A little bit more on the tones are more vibesy, I would say. It's definitely not a bright album or project, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. And I tend not to have super bright production anyway. Most of my production tends to be, you know, soulful, which interprets as sad. I guess, you know, for me it's not sad, but you know, I think just from tones and chord structure, it can probably be interpreted as somber or introspective. But yeah, I think the best word I could probably use for the project would be probably introspective. I think it has that feel. And I think you went there with the lyricism as well. So I just think, like, you know, that's the best part about being able to do, you know, collab projects is, you know, one feeds off of the other. And, yep, you know, you came to me with the idea where we should go from a production standpoint. And so knowing that makes it easier for me, you know, because now I'm not creating from scratch. In essence, you know, I'm just able to create from an idea. And me creating from an idea is that's so much easier. And I tend to work almost at double the speed when I know what I'm doing going into it. So,
yep.
But it was fun working on it, man. It was probably the first time I've done, maybe the second time I've done almost, we were working together face to face, but digitally, you know what I'm saying? So yep, you were actually sitting in on the sessions, but you were still in Columbus and I was, you know, back here in Philly. So yeah, man, it was, you know, it was a fun process. And, you know, like you said, it's been dope to see a lot of feedback. It sucks because I'm so busy with a lot of other stuff. I haven't been able to interact as much with, you know, folks leaving messages and stuff, but, you know, huge thanks to everybody that's been sending love our way, man.
Okay, so I'm going to play the role of the fan here in this case, just because I need to give them a voice as y'all are talking about this. So, Wes, you touched on a couple things. I wanted to ask, because people always, you know, wonder how these things come about. So you talked about how Armand sat in on a session, you know, virtually. You talked about a little bit how Armand came to the idea. So walk us back. Like, how did the seed – where was the seed for this project? Like, how did this get started? And this could be either
of y'all. I guess I can take the wheel. How Armand, is that cool?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, pretty much, you know, Armand and I, we pretty much talk at least like once a month, I would say, just about whatever. And then, you know, one day Armand and I were talking and, you know, he was talking, he was kind of, you know, brainstorming about, you know, what he thinks that he should be doing next. And I was just like, you know, what would be great is, you know, because he's, you know, Armand is, he's always three levels deep in his head, you know what I'm saying? And a couple steps ahead, even though he might not be talking about that stuff publicly. But, you know, his album is forthcoming, but he kind of felt like he still wanted to get some stuff out there. And I was like, yeah, man, so, you know, what would be dope is if you did like an EP and everything like that. And, you know, like four tracks. And I don't even think when we first started talking, I wasn't even talking about myself doing it. I don't think. Were we, Armand?
Nah.
Just the idea was just, yep. I think I just said the idea. And then eventually it was like, yeah, you know what? You know what? I think I might be able to do this because, you know, a lot of people don't know. I'm kind of like semi-retired. Not because I don't want to make music anymore, but I don't have time, you know, because of other endeavors and stuff like that. And so for me to do stuff like this, it has to be something I really want to do. So, so that's how it really came about, was Armand and I kind of brainstorming about the natural progression of his career and, you know, him getting older and his getting older and both of us being almost exactly in the same place from a father standpoint, as far as years and how that translates to making music. And so, so that's pretty much, you know, how we did it. And then, if you follow me, you know, I very much try to be on the front end of the curve as far as like, you know, how to work, especially from a digital standpoint. And I'm really into live video and, into collaborating over, you know, online, which is nothing new, but I think collabing musically is one of those things that's starting to become more prominent as time goes on. And so, instead of Armand and I wasting each other's time with back and forth through email and stuff like that, it was just easy to say, yo, let's meet up at 9 o'clock on Thursday night and let's carve out 2 hours. Let's do this. And then, you know, basically set our meetings up that way. And I feel like we both saved a massive amount of time. It was kind of just, you know, bang, bang, and it was done, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, there was one session where Wes did like the chunk of the production. Like, yep, he was just going through Soul Surplus stuff, which we'll get to in a second. And, you know, I was like, yep, nope, let's do that. And, you know, drums, and we just kind of go back and forth with ideas. And, you know, because the idea of 40 Days kind of was already crafted in my mind after we did, because the first song that we did was The Morning.
Yeah.
And Wes kind of crafted that out. So Wes was like, all right, so here's the beat. Rap like this. So he told me to rap very melancholy. He told me to rap like, I remember when I was in Jade. He wanted me to rap like depressed, where normally my style's a little more aggressive, like laid back aggression. But he was like, I don't want to hear any aggression. And I did that. And we kind of sat on that record for a little bit because I wasn't sure where I wanted it to go. And then some of you, when Wes was doing, when he was vlogging really heavy earlier this year, he did a vlog where he was doing something for me. That was the early stages of the whole became something totally different. But I ended up coming to him like, hey, I got this idea for this record, because I did a freestyle over En Vogue, Hold On. But I was like, this is too good for somebody else's beat. Like, I need some original production on this. And so we had those two records done. And so we were kind of stuck. And all of a sudden, everything just kind of came. I don't know if I was in my word. I don't know how the concept of 40 days just came out. And the Bible just jumped out at me, and Jesus was like, ha-ha! I don't remember how it came, but it just kind of like words just started popping out. And then even the concept of, you know, the more, because we had the morning, and because it was Hold On, I was like, well, what if it's just called The Hold? And I had a concept for a record called The Feels already kind of in my notes on my phone. So I'm like, oh, shoot, all these pieces are already coming together. And I was like, I got it. And I rushed and called Wes and was like, yo, we should do this and call 40 Days and da, da, da. And Wes was like, cool. He was very much like, yeah, that's cool. That'll work. And yeah, like it came like the concept and the music came really, really quick for this project. It wasn't hard at all.
Yeah.
So Armand, the concept for this, so you have talked about, you know, you have been pretty vocal on social media pointing out to people, like, because people are asking about the next project, which of course you must love as an artist, right? You hear, you put work into this. People are like, well, what about the next, you know? And you have been pretty upfront about pointing out the link between 40 Days and what mm-hmm. comes next. So did you go into 40 Days knowing that? Or did that 100%. Just sort of, it's just, yeah, okay. So, I mean, do you want, how much are you willing to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm realizing that people aren't really getting what I'm doing. So I'm just going to have to like tell them what I'm doing.
And you got to, we got to beat people over the head with stuff. I'm sure Weston knows that, right? Like, I mean, you think, oh, people have heard me too much. No. You've always missed somebody. Like, yeah, you got to tell people.
Yeah. So, you know, like Wes said earlier, he was, you know, like, because what happened was the label, like me signing to a label was like growing pains. So like, you know, I'm the type of person, I get a beat, I'll make a record immediately and I'll go to Doc, get it mixed. And then like, I want to put it out that day. And, you know, labels, even indie labels don't work like that. So, you know, I was kind of, I'm not going to lie, I was a little frustrated. And so just kind of talking to other artists, and I was talking to Wes about it, just sharing my frustrations or whatever, just it being new. It wasn't anything that Elect was doing. It was just me being somebody who's been DIY since I was 15. And now I'm signed to a label where like I have to go through channels. It was just a really difficult transition. So Wes had already suggested like, yo, you should just do something in the meantime, you know, and do it quick, get it out and make it happen. So I wrote 40 Days knowing that it was going to connect to the album, because the album sonically, it's really different from 40 Days, because 40 Days is so moody. The album is not moody at all. And I love that, because I think people, there's a little bit of stretching on the album. And I feel like when people start hearing the records, like they're going to be like, yo, what are you doing? So the 40 Days is a little more traditional. and I'm cool and I'm perfect with people saying, what are you doing? Because I want to challenge people as to what they think I'm capable of, because like, I know I'm capable of way more than what I've presented. And so 40 Days is more of like the traditional, you know, Armand, wake up. This isn't a stretch. People are used to me making moody, transparent, introspective music. They're used to Wes, you know, using lush samples, especially with 42 North and Soul Surplus and everything that he has going on. So it wasn't anything that was abnormal. It wasn't like when Wes was doing like middle class stuff where it's like, well, wait, this doesn't sound like Wes Pendleton beats. And then these don't sound like Taylor Gray raps. It was, you know, you could hear that there was a stretch. There was a specific sound that they were trying to create in their tandem. But with Wes and I, it was like, let's just do what we do best. Because I knew on the album that, you know, Tiwala and Jay Roden and, you know, even you, Doc, leading, you know, the album off, like it's just totally different. And I'm grateful for that, because I think when people get it, when they notice that it's called 40 Days and the album comes out 40 days from the release and that we're counting up to the album, and this is, and Me in the Woods is not me being a creep or a weirdo. Like I'm literally navigating through the wilderness of introspection. And so when they come out and see me, it's going to be in a completely different light, because the album will be out and the concept, but everything's just going to connect. And I think everybody's going to have that Kaiser Soze moment. And I cannot wait to see everybody's response or reaction when that happens.
So Wes, yeah. You admit, go ahead.
No, I was just going to just to tie the loose end on what Armand was saying. I think one of the reasons why the project, even to go a bit deeper, one of the reasons why the project works is because, you know, my whole, well, not my whole catalog, but I want to say 80% of my catalog is on Elect. And so the fact that I've worked with Plastic for, you know, going on 6 years now, I think, it's actually going on 7 years now. It's crazy. And knowing his process and how everything works, and then knowing that the byproduct of doing this project too, that won't be seen as clearly, is the fact that Armand and I will probably get a decent amount of placements from this record. And so while Armand was able to, you know, to scratch that itch, the element of business is still very much in play for the both of us in this project. And it's just one of those things that just makes sense to do, you know? And I think that's the best part about doing music in the present state. There's a lot of bad things about music, but there's so many good things that you can do with your music from a content standpoint nowadays. That just makes it that much more sense just to do as much music as possible.
Yep.
So Wes, before you were talking a little bit about I think it was Wes who talked about sort of the creative process of, or maybe it was Armand describing the session, but either way, one of you was talking about sort of this idea of how some of these records came about from, Wes's, you know, almost used going to the work you've been doing with Soul Surplus, which I want to ask you about in a second, but this is actually an interesting lead to it, which is, Wes, you described yourself as semi-retired, and one of these reasons is because you are really, you know, really blowing out what you're doing with Soul Surplus. As you worked on this project, I'm guessing the answer is going to be yes, it's influenced it, but could you talk a bit about like how what you've done with Soul Surplus and what you're doing with Soul Surplus has changed or impacted or done whatever to how you make music?
Yeah, it's basically taken, I have this funny saying where when I talk about an abrupt change is taking the truck and driving it off a cliff into a volcano. You know what I'm saying? So that's really what Soul Surplus has done. And really it came out of, and this is part of Armand and I having more of a personal relationship in that he knows more about me than the general public. And so, you know, leaving the whole scene altogether for about a year to go back to work, to go work like a 9-to-5, and then kind of being on the outside looking in and then saying, huh, so that's how it works now. Because sometimes I think when you're in it, you don't really see it because you romanticize everything, you know, when you're creative. And so so what Soul Surplus has done is it's allowed me to just use my gift to create and use that as a means to use my music as a way to make money more than one time. You know what I'm saying? So your creations live on for a much longer time. Your creations are able to be used in multiple ways. And that's just the way music is now. Music is not really made as much to enjoy. You know what I'm saying? So somebody like Armand has had fans for years and years and years. They're always going to want to hear what he has to say. They're always going to support. He's still going to, you know, get new fans. But the way that music is utilized and the other side of the create, because, you know, we get so fixated on the creation part, we don't think about the post drop. You know what I'm saying? And nowadays, your album dies the Tuesday after it comes out, you know, if you're not careful. And so with Soul Surplus, what we're able to do is, you know, create music, but it lives forever and forever and forever. And it's used in, you know, multiple different ways, which obviously, you know, we'll probably go in more in depth in a bit. But.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think, Wes, one of the good things that those conversations what Wes kind of like opened my mind up to was, one, you know, I've never been privy to that side of the financial aspect of music, like, you know, how you can make money off of your art off of different ways besides iTunes. Because I think, you know, Doc and I have long talked about, you know, what streaming has done to the music industry and to independent artists specifically who may not have the machine behind them. So, you know, the good thing about Elect and then the good thing about Wes's history with that is, like, you know, there's so many different ways to do what you do and still be able to, you know, feed your family, or at worst, you know, buy a pair of sneakers, or, you know, at super worst, you know, buy groceries for the week. So
Right.
You know, that was a big eye opener in that regard. And then even, you know, like artists, this is one thing, like there's no such thing as the perfect moment. Like I think a lot of artists, especially from even like 5 years ago, who were, you know, there was almost like a mini renaissance that was going on like around 2011, 2012. And we kind of came from that old school. It's old school now. It's a mindset where, you know, you create your project, you work it for X amount of months, you tour, and then you go away and then you come back. But, you know, what we're seeing, especially with what social media has done, is like it's not even 15 minutes of fame. It's like 5 seconds that you have people's attention. And the craziest, you know, 600,000 people got shot in Vegas. And like that was on a Sunday or a Monday. And by Thursday, people were on to the next thing. So with something as incredibly tragic as that to happen, what do you think is going to happen with music? So you have to be able to like either create a mystique around you and still work the way that you work. But somebody like me, music's not the hard part. I can create music. I can write like nothing and it'd be at a certain level of quality. But you know, like Wes was saying, like it's the other stuff. It's how do you work these songs? How do you present yourself? How do you, you know, just navigate through this new way of engaging people who essentially are on their phones all day but don't have any time? So it's really interesting. It's a new time, but it's like if you have the resources and the abilities, you can really flourish and function and be successful in it. And so that's 40 Days is like the beginning of that for me, because I was so silent in 2017. Like 2018 is already ridiculous. And I know I sound like a rapper saying that, but I'm really stockpiled just vlogs, and I, you know, invested in a camera, and you know, I'm already like 8 songs into something else already. So, and that doesn't count stuff that I talked about with Doc and other producers and other rappers. And, you know, like this is going to be a very eventful year, because now people can catch up, where if a record doesn't work, you know, okay, well, I have something in 2 weeks. I have something next week. It's Monday and I put something out. Okay, well, I'm going to be back in your face on Thursday with something else. So it's what a time to be alive for the creatives.
Speaking of video.
Yeah. Oh,
you shot a video.
I did.
On your own.
On my own. Shout out to my girl for holding the camera.
Okay. we're talking DIY independent.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So the hold, I'll ask both of you, I want to talk about the video in a sec, but was as you like put this together, did you know pretty early on that the hold was going to be like, this is the record we want to put out so people to get their attention, or were you thinking about something else?
I think because I love the way that I rap on that song, and it's more up tempo, and that beat is ridiculous. I think Wes, you had that one in the stash, right?
Yeah, that was one of the, that's, I have like, and unfortunately there's almost nothing in it now, but I have like these tracks that I'm pretty sure like nobody's ever going to rap on. When I say that, I'm more from the standpoint of like, I don't know why anybody would not want to, but I just know rappers and they're going to hear it and it's going to be kind of intimidating when it's not, you know what I'm saying? So, which Armand pretty much proved as clear as day that it's, I mean, there's drums and there's a kick. So it's just the tempo.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Rap.
So that one was in the stash.
Yeah, so when Wes played it for me, sometimes you just know.
Yeah.
So he played maybe like, he was kind of skipping through the stash, and he played, I think maybe like the kick and the snare hit, and he skipped it, and I was like, nah, let's run that back. And he played it, and we just both like, you know, did the little rapper scream, the little rapper woo, the producer woo. And, you know, I knew that was it. I knew that compared to the other songs on the album, because, I mean, another record that's in that same vein is The Vanity. Hmm. And that beat is crazy. But I think The Hold is a little easier to digest. So if this is your first introduction, I think The Hold is a great record. But some of the other ones, you kind of got to explain the full concept of the album. I think The Hold is the record that works by itself the best out of the five. So that's why I went with it. And I liked it the most.
Okay. So the video. So this was your first time, Armand, doing this yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, so now that you've done it a little bit and you're kind of getting, and you said you're doing, you know, you got vlogs in the stash and everything, really, really starting to generate a lot of video. Do you think you're going to, this is sort of a leading question, I'd be interested to see where you go with this. Do you think that you're going to continue sort of, okay, well, I'm making audio content and I'll get video stuff to catch up with it? Or can you almost see yourself like approaching a piece of music like, I need this, I need something for a video. Let me try to get something for that. Do you know what I mean? Like, instead of just, are you starting to think that way or is it not quite there yet?
It's not a start. I realized while shooting this video that I always think like this. So
that's such a rapper answer.
shut up, man. Not like, I just realized that, like, you know, some people, I don't know what the technical term is of it is, but my boy Copyright, he talked to me about how he sees music in colors or something like that. I don't know what that's called.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then there's me, like we talk about on the show, how I hear music in seasons. So I hear music like in terms of temperature and feeling outside. But I'll be writing a song or crafting something and I'll see what I want to say. Like, okay, I want the rap video. I want the video to look like this. So in 2018, for sure, absolutely, I'll be crafting music that will strictly be for the purpose of a video. It won't be on iTunes. It won't be on SoundCloud. It'll strictly be, you have to watch the video on YouTube. Taylor and I did that late last year with the Only Us. You know, that song never was released as an MP3, but we shot the video and people loved it. We gorilla'd it. We went to this corner over by Ohio State. My man pulled the camera out and we just did two takes of the song and we color corrected it, threw the track under it and put it out, you know, and, you know, like it did well. So even with the white guy in the dashiki jumping in the shot, but I think that's where we're going. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like guerrilla style. Like, I don't have time for you to sit down and craft all this stuff because I have the ability to make so much music. It's like, you know, find different ways of putting it out. If I say SoundCloud is trash, then why am I going to put all this real estate on SoundCloud? Like, let's find other ways that, you know, can people go to more, and then also places where, you know, people can make money. People, like, it's just different now. So I'm 100% crafting. This won't be the first one. This is just like me getting my feet wet, for sure.
And Wes, you've been pretty heavy into video too, right? I mean, so can you talk, I mean, you sort of talked a bit about early about how, like, you know, you've always tried to be like on the forefront of sort of using technology with music, but how has video sort of impacted what you do with music? Or is it still just more like, I'm doing this because it's promotional?
No, it really kind of comes down to the fact, I mean, it's interesting because really the main formats that get the heaviest amounts of attention are obviously video. And I think that voice is really coming right behind that, especially now, you know, which is why, you know, you guys have been so successful with the podcast. You know, it's because, you know, voice is like right there as number two. But yeah, video is very, very important, mainly because I think that, and it really depends on in what way that you're using it. So obviously the way that Armand would use it would be different than the way I would use it with, you know, Soul Surplus or, you know, in that, you know, a lot of Armand is using it. Well, technically, let me rewind that back because what I'm about to say is technically not true. And you don't have to cut that out. I'm just saying, like, really, honestly, the way that you use video to establish a brand is pretty much the same across the board, except for if you have a brand that sells like a lot of products, then how you utilize those types of mediums might just be a tad different. So with Soul Surplus, just as an example, you know, we've seen how important live video is to really building up brand reputation and building up brand loyalty, building up a base of followers and people who really are in it for the long haul. And it's interesting because I feel like live video has more impact than say like a music video is dope. And like, you know, like Armand was talking about the video him and Taylor did, you know, that did what, 5 figures easily. I'm thinking Armand.
Like, yeah,
you guys definitely did.
You talking about views?
Yeah. You guys definitely hit over like 20,000, right?
Nah, we, I think we're at, I think we're at 10 or a little over 10 or something like that.
Okay. We're still, you know, still five figures. So you see the importance of having that and how much that can do for your brand. But it's very interesting how you can see, when Armand does that, there's no like in-person interaction. There's no face-to-face interaction. So when you're trying to build a brand, the live function really allows you to have real-time communication with your followers and supporters and fans, and really is, in my opinion, probably the most important function of video right now. You know, we're not to give a whole bunch away, but you know, we're about to start testing the waters in doing live workshop format that can also be sold as an actual, you know, workshop after it's done right now. You know, that's where we're going next. And so, here it is that, you know, we do what we do from a regular standpoint with sound libraries and stuff like that. But now we're about to dip into live workshops and to have, you know, workshops and classes that you can actually take afterwards. So it's another source of income for the brand. And also just another lane for the brand that might actually benefit a different type of consumer differently, you know, than the other. So.
Yeah, Wes, I was going to ask you to, because we've said the phrase soul surplus, you know, a bunch of times in this podcast so far, because you're so deep into that right now. But you just started to talk about where you're going with that, but like rewind real quick. So if someone's listening to this and they have no idea what soul surplus is, what is soul surplus?
Yeah, so in hip hop, when creating hip hop, especially back in the beginning, the majority of hip hop was created by using the technique of sampling, where you're taking small portions of an original song and chopping it into small pieces and then reinterpreting it into a different form over drums and bass or whatever. And, you know, just a new way of being creative. And it's awesome to sample. I love to sample. The issue that you run into with sampling, however, is that's somebody else's property and you have to make sure that person is okay with you using it. So, you know, you then, the next thing that happens is, you know, now you have to go get permission from that person. And what ultimately happens the majority of the time is that person either wants way too much money, and by all means, if they want way too much money, that's their prerogative. But when I say way too much money, it's more money than most can afford, or, you know, it's just one of those things where they just say no. They're just like, no, you can't use it. And so that has become more and more of a problem with production and producers over the years, and especially now with new technology being able to parse music and to be able to find people who may have been able to get over with using samples in the past. We're kind of past that now, with technology kind of scooping those things out. And so kind of makes a dilemma for producers and, you know, can cause a hitch in their creative process. And so, Soul Surplus and companies like ours, what we do is we come in and we create original music compositions, like original samples, that producers can use and be able to manipulate or just, you know, just throw right on there with some drums without the hassle of, you know, sample clearance and things like that. We always guarantee sample clearance. We're never going to, you know, hold that over top of anybody's head. You know, our main goal is to really assist in the creative process and not hold people back. And so, you know, that's in essence, that's the foundation of our company. We have, I think we're upwards to 9 to 10 packs now, 20, at the time of this recording. We're actually releasing the pack tonight. It's been great. We've done extremely well financially with it. We've been able to build a name up for ourselves. We've been able to rub elbows with some, you know, some pretty high end producers. High end or well known producers, I guess you could say. And we're also in the process now of kind of crossing the aisle into television and web, and that's been very fun. And there's been some new things happening that I can't go into depth just yet. That's really going to change a lot of things. And then also, you know, what we were just talking about before Doc asked me to explain what Soul Surplus was, also getting into the teaching aspect and being able to help both people who are, you know, learning production, but also musicians, because our team is a team of musicians. You know, we all actually play. And so teaching theory and stuff like that digitally, and basically being able to go to your laptop, your iPhone, your iPad, and being able to learn, you know, almost like face to face with us, man. So that's what we do. Sorry, that was like super long. I felt like that was like 10 minutes worth.
No. I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, I really don't think that most hip hop fans, even of course the smart people who are listening to this show, because all of you are super smart because you're our listeners. At least I hope so. Most hip hop fans don't realize how often sample packs are used in modern production.
They're used like 99% of the time.
what's your man's name? And he always ends up appearing like on credits.
Frank Dukes.
Frank Dukes. He does sample packs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, I'm pretty sure there's like a handful, like some of these, it might be some records. Like there's a record on this Jeezy album, right? Where like all of a sudden you're like, wow, Frank Dukes getting a credit on a Jeezy album. It's like, yeah, it's almost certainly someone from one of his sample packs, right? And so
not necessarily.
That's true.
Just from the sample pack.
But I feel like it's Frank, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just saying like Frank is actually, he crossed over into that area where he's actually creating custom stuff.
Yeah.
And that's like we've actually already crossed over into that plenty this year, which has been like crazy. Yeah. And like once you start doing stuff like that, like you're really like you're doing it, you know?
Yeah. What I was really trying to say, that I was sort of explaining about it. It's like, yeah, some of it might be from sample packs, but what actually ends up happening, and Wes, I'm assuming you're seeing this happen. Hopefully it continues to happen for you, where you get this virtuous cycle, right? People check out the sample pack and what they want is something kind of like it, but a little different just for them. And so you get hired to do that custom. And of course you get to charge more, and then that feeds, and then they see that credit and that feeds more into the sample pack. It's a nice business to be in, man.
It is. I mean, like you explained it to the T, this year we've probably done 12 custom joints, you know, and then when it's custom, you know, you're talking, you know, $400 to $500 per sample, right? You know, so it's definitely a lot more lucrative, whereas in a pack it's going to be like $30, and if you get the stems, you know, it's going to be like $60. But to get your own thing, your own unique, you know, thing is definitely a whole different ball game, and definitely opens up a lot more avenues to be able to recoup financially.
Okay. Aman, anything else you feel like you need to talk about for 40 days or?
We talked about the video. Yep. We talked about the process. We talked about, I think that's, you know, there's a commentary that's out.
Oh.
The commentary.
Yeah.
So was that only on Spotify?
Yes.
So how did that come about? Like, what's the deal there?
Spotify just likes to, they just like content. They're very indie artist friendly. So anytime you can throw content their way, they will embrace that. And we're kind of trying to build up just my digital distribution thumbprint a little bit. So we just decided to try to make something a Spotify exclusive, because I believe they're the only one out of the big three where it's very easy. It's easier for you to get stats. I may be wrong on that, but you know, it's similar to
any other website analytics or whatever, I can tell who listens, how many listens, where they listen from, whatever. So because of that, we just kind of wanted to feed them a little some extra. So, you know, and it's not one of the flimsy commentaries where like, yeah, so on this song, you know, I got in my car and I was looking out the window and I said, ooh, look, the sun's out. So I made a song and it's called Sun's Out. Here we go. Like, we really delve into the album. It was basically like my girl came over. She was like, you know, press record. We hit record. And she just started asking me questions. And she's an extremely analytical person. So she was able to ask some really good questions that produce some really good content. So if you have any questions or anything else that you want to know, you know, head over to Spotify and listen to the commentary, because we delve into a whole lot, and content will continue for that project until, you know, the album comes out in next month.
Okay. Wes, before we move on to other stuff, is there anything else that you want to talk about for the album or Soul Surplus or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. One of the aspects that I forgot to cover this last time was we are officially getting into the content creator supply chain. So this is going to be really important for guys like yourselves who create podcasts, for YouTubers, people that are in that do any type of web programming or television programming. We're taking the next step in creating production that can be used for those platforms, and will be presented in a price that reflects the level of need, right? So say like you guys do a podcast, and so for a podcaster, you know, to come to the website and to browse through, you know, the hip hop and soul section, say like you find a track and it's just like, okay, this would be perfect for the podcast. You'd be able to purchase that track for probably around $39 to $49 and be able to use it perpetuity forever. You know what I'm saying? Like it's technically yours. But then say like if you guys now all of a sudden are picked up by Complex and you guys have a daily show that, you know, so now technically, you know, the CRS podcast is now like, it's more than two of you guys. It's like 10 plus employees. And then your reach is like, obviously tens of thousands of people, if not millions, you know, and then that track is probably going to be $4.99, you know what I'm saying? So, but you know, that's the next area that we're getting into, mainly because we've already kind of crossed over into that area, kind of by accident. You know, we want to take the next step and really start developing more relationships with guys like yourselves who are content creators, who are programmers and producers, that are looking for a really good hip hop, but can't seem to find it for the same reason why people can't clear their samples, you know? So say like, if you guys wanted to use a Jay-Z instrumental, you know, and you contact whoever owns the rights and they're like, yeah, that's $8,000. And it's just like, I'm not paying $8,000 for a beat, you know?
Right.
You know, that's where we step in. You know, now all of a sudden you have a place where you can go, where you know that there's a lot of good music, especially hip hop. Like, and I think that's the thing that's going to help us, is that you go to a lot of these, you know, music library sites, and the hip hop and soul is garbage. Like, it's not good at all. It's come almost like a second thought. And you know, I don't think that the owners of the brand are necessarily like, I don't think that that's their fault. I just think that hip hop has this bad, I think they're just behind the curve, you know what I'm saying? And so we really want to get out in front of that. And anytime you search soul licensing, hip hop licensing, we want to be on that first page on Google. And I think that we're going to do pretty well with that, babe.
So this is good, because that means when people come to me asking me, I can give them a better answer instead of, nah, I'm not really the person you want to ask to make this be. I'm just going to point them in your direction.
Yep. And then also the other thing too is, you know, it's, you know, we even want to get to the place where, you know, there's affiliate marketing change, you know what I'm saying? So if you use Clock Radio speakers as a code, you know, then you guys get a couple dollars off of that, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's definitely one thing that we want to do. You know, we're definitely in the business of, of, of helping everybody. That's kind of our mantra. Everybody eats with us, you know. So
everybody eats, B.
Yep. And we're making it open for, you know, other producers eventually too. So, you know, Doc makes beats and, you know, say like if you have like, you know, 10 tracks just laying around, just give them to us. We'll put them in the store. Make some money, man.
Word.
All right, gentlemen. Armand.
I was going to say, that's just a really intricate way of hip hop and business in 2017. Like,
right.
I'm sure that, you know, as you alluded to, Doc, I believe that we do have a very sophisticated audience who knows a lot about hip hop. But I also realize that, like, they don't realize that these are things that people hire companies for. So this is like, this is pristine. So it's normal within the context of the music industry. But I think, especially in the independent realm and where we are right now, something like a Soul Surplus, I don't even think people know that they need something like this. You know, how do you get in these? How do you get in these doors? How do you meet these people? How do you get these opportunities? It's like, it's not the thing where you just put a song out and you retweet it a bunch of times and you send it to, you know, a bunch of artists or whatever, and then they love it and then they tag it and you blow up. Like, nah, it's a process and it's a team and it's a whole bunch of stuff. And it seems like that's what Soul Surplus is doing right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I come from, you know, kind of knowing that kind of, you know, knowing how the agency world works, and you know, this is one of those things that's really high on the list, you know, being able to make sure that you have good music. And then on the flip side, what usually tends to happen, just to piggyback on what Armand just said, a lot of times people have an idea to create their own lane via video or podcast. And it's like, they get to the very end and they're like, oh shoot, I forgot, I got to get music. And then they're like, well, what, you know, where would I get that from? You know? And then what usually happens is most people, they just go to their iTunes playlist and they grab something. And then when it gets uploaded and it gets flagged, then they're like, oh shoot, I didn't know about copyright, you know, infringement or whatever, you know? And so, yeah, man, we really hope to bridge that gap and, you know, just to make things easier for everybody.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.